Good morning. Today is Wednesday, October the 7th, 277th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor out of the 5th, Mr. Sundberg.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Good. You know, the formality is going to fall way off now. I said the mister. That's about as far as I'm going to go as far as...
I'm not used to that still. No.
Good.
Yeah.
You're just regular Ryan.
Regular old Ryan, yeah.
All right. Talk Shop this morning, as always, is presented by Redick and CDH Painting. Our quote this morning comes... Let's see if we can live up to this one. Edward Friedman. I don't think he's part of the Friedman Brothers in Santa Rosa, but let's go with it as if he was.
Okay.
Because it says he's a therapist and a rabbi. Don't think he was in the home improvement business, but we'll go there. Leadership can be thought of as a capacity to define oneself to others in a way that clarifies and expands a vision of the future.
I can see someone following you. Yeah, that's how they follow you. Right over the cliff sometimes.
But. Me? Oh, well, we got a couple different things. We got leadership. Okay, that triggered for me the DHHS and some of the stuff that's going on or potential stuff that's going on. What sense do you have? Is it going to be multiple agencies? Is it going to stay in the singular as it is? I know there's been a lot of frustration from a lot of folks that the current model, while it may be generating a lot of revenue, isn't necessarily accomplishing the goals that most folks have for health and human services.
Yeah, so the answer is yes. I think you asked three questions.
You're right, yeah, I got you.
And the answer was yes.
I got you, yeah.
Just to, like, you want me to clarify?
Clarification. I mean, we can go back to the quote there, you know, of a leader clarifying, yeah.
Okay. So here's my... thoughts, and some of this has been run through the Board of Supervisors in our meeting already and all that, but we're out looking for a new department head for Health and Human Services. We spent quite a bit of money on having a company go through all the different pieces of Department of Health and Human Services, and it's called an integrated model. What we wanted to know was, you know, is this integrated model working? You know, what's working well, what could work better? You know, is there too many layers of administration before you get to services? You know, I'm sure over the years of sitting in here, you've heard all the same things I've heard.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hard to tell what's true and what's not true. And, you know, some of it's anecdotal, but in some of it you can see through a budget. But most of the time you don't know. You know, I'm not an expert on health and human services and how it fits together. And one of the things I was worried about, too, was, so you've got this integrated model, and then if you take this piece away from it, what does it do financially? Does the Fed say, well, if you take that piece away, we're going to cut you by, you know, $5 million. But if you take this piece away over here, there's no change. You know, it's just the same.
You got to have somebody who knows what they're talking about making the suggestions instead of supervisor fill in the blank going in with a machete. And
yeah, yeah. I mean, and I think I even said this at one point, is like, man, we could really mess this up if we don't do this right. But is Health and Human Services too big? That was the main question that we had. And, you know, and one of the philosophies that you have of, you know, you can do a couple of things really good, or you can do a whole bunch of things really, really average, you know, and that's one of the things I was worried about too, is, you know, we have all these programs and we go after money and people bringing money from the outside in, but if we're not doing it well, it's not really worth doing.
KINS News and Information Times 819.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close to home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, there are a couple of general questions, and perhaps this outfit that was used to be the professional to evaluate have the answers or provided you guys the answers. The insular nature of this thing, I guess it would be kind of like, are you a Ghostbuster fan?
No.
The Stay Puft guy at the end?
Uh-huh.
You push in, and you can just disappear entirely into, and you wouldn't know if you were getting close to anything or not. I mean, so many layers.
Okay.
So many levels of protection. So many deferrals up the system. How do you ever get an answer? Is one of those frustrations. Was there any addressing that sense or that reality from these folks?
Yeah, they did a really, really comprehensive report. And when we first hired them, what I thought was going to happen, or one of my ideas, you know, I'm 20% of the board, so what I thought...
The crazy out of the north is kind of the reference I've heard.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I thought we would have this company come in and say, you know, here's everything that's broken, that can be fixed, that can be split apart, and that, and we'd use that for the job description for the new person, because maybe we don't need a director that does A through Z. They only needed to do A through M, right? And then you'd have it, you know, and then
delegate off
out,
the others.
Yeah, we'd figure out where the other pieces go. And then I got talked into it. It makes more sense to have a new director come in and then take this report and say, wow, there's a lot of good information in here. Let's let them own it and let's them make the recommendations that are in the report. And, you know, here's what we think can work, what can't work. And I was talked into to thinking that's a better approach.
So. Theoretically, in the classroom, I think that probably makes sense. But that puts an awful lot of onus on the hiring decision.
It does,
one that somebody says, yeah, I don't want to be at the top of the tower, insulated. I want to be accessible. I want the ideas. I mean, a whole different personality could take you in a completely different direction, particularly if you're just putting it on them and you don't
know. Here's where I think that we are a little safer is we have this information going into the job hiring. And a lot of this is, you know, like personality and what you're looking for and what someone's beliefs are and how they manage, you know, how they would like to see things structured and what they've done in the past. And so this context of this paper that we have is really good for me because I know exactly what I'm looking for, you know, and when I'm not looking for.
Is it proprietary information? I know could you give whatever that report is to each of the perspectives and say,
it was a public,
how would you execute this?
It was a public document that was at our board meeting a few weeks ago. And I would assume that if you were applying for a job that paid more than $150,000 a year, you'd probably do your homework, and that would be something that I would...
I'd like to think that somebody would figure
that one out. If they don't know anything about it, I would be...
So you're not going to prompt them. You're going to just wait and see if they determine that some of these things are
viable.
It's going
to be their test to see if they listen to Kins or not.
You know, that truly is a critical component here. Part of the litmus test, I think, should be involved with every department head hiring.
Yes.
Do they understand where the power is?
Yeah. Do you know Brian?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. Thank you.
We say, what do you think of Brian?
Yeah.
That's the question. It's in closed session, though, so I can't tell you what they say.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Did these folks... Did they come to a decision? Did they provide a decision that the department is achieving the goals it should be or not? Is it doing the mandates or not? Is it moving people not into another part of the system but out of the system or not? I mean, some of those big picture things, did they address any of those?
Yeah, the big picture things, there's pieces that need to move around. There's communication that doesn't happen now that needs to happen.
Internal and external?
Yeah. And I mean, one of the major, I think, is, how do I say this? One of the major points or philosophies or changes that, you know, or however you want to say it, is Health and Human Services and the rest of the county, you know, all needs to be in the same boat. You know, we're all in the same thing together, and you know, and I want, yeah, culture. That's a great word. You know, we have two cultures at the county right now, and when we have two, you know, they've got separate logos. I mean, it's just really, really separated. You know, we do our budget, we do Health and Human Services is half, and the rest of the county is half. And you know, in this document and for myself, and you know, I'd like to see us, we're all in this as one team, and we need to all work together. And if there, and there is pieces that can split off into other departments, you know, and I think that'll help meld this all into one also. So I'm looking forward to the change, and appreciate everything that's been done in the past, but it's, you know, I'm happy we spent the money on this report and figured this out, because this has been something that's been just
some anchoring too.
Well, you know, there's something wrong, but you don't know how to fix it. And now we know, now we've got a roadmap how to fix it. So that's, I think it's great.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30. Glad that everything's great at the county. We'll be back. Talk about other stuff in just a moment.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:34. Everything's still groovy, dudes. The County Humboldt with Ryan Sundberg. Oh, boy. Oregon legalized the recreational use of marijuana last week. I'm sure that there's going to be some significant changes in the border counties, and maybe even down as far as Humboldt County and Mendocino County. It stands to reason. There's going to be a shift somewhere, somehow. This whole thing around legalization, medicinal, grow, no grow, drug safety zones, all that kind of stuff. Do you sense it? Is it starting to come together? Or are we still flying from here, flying to there, the thing that the governor had a couple weeks ago? It still seems like everybody's trying. It's a patchwork. It's a quilt instead of a blanket. Mm-hmm. Do you get that sense that it's still there?
So we did a presentation the other day to the Humboldt Bay Water District, and we all went up individually to go and kind of let them know what was going on. So the water board went up and did their spiel, and the Fish and Wildlife did, and then and then when I got up there, I said, I think you're seeing how all these, you know, you can't just look at Fish and Wildlife Service and say, you got to go fix this problem, because they can't. They've got their focus. The Water Board can't fix this problem for you. The Board of Supervisors can't fix this problem for you. The State of California can't fix this. But all the pieces to the puzzle are in place now. You know, there's the three bills that went through. That was a huge piece to the puzzle. You know, you've got the county.
Did that help or just help clarify?
Well, it helps and 'cause it clarifies. I mean, having no rules and not, you know, having everything be gray doesn't, you know, it's terrible for everybody. You even go ask, you know, sheriff's officers, you know, and they go out there and look at a grow, and if there's no scales and cash laying around and no gun, they're scratching their, you know, going, do we bust this one or not?
It was scratching their head, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you forgot that part.
Okay, sorry.
You just said scratching.
Okay. I'm glad you knew what I meant.
You know, it's another reason why you have to listen to this show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where would we be without you? So between the state laws, you know, the state laws that are coming down the pipe, and then the county, you know, we have a dispensary ordinance that's on its way. The Planning Commission last week sent it up to the Board of Supervisors. Then there's the land use portion in Humboldt County, because the state laws defer a lot of the control to the local government, including taxes. So
that's a whole other bailiwick, huh?
Yeah. So you've got that's the other piece that is coming together, though, is you know, how do we tax this and make sure that we can draw a bright line between the guy over here, the farmer over here who's doing it right, and the dispensary guy over here who's doing it right, or manufacturer or whoever, and the person who's doing it wrong? How do we have the money to go and make sure that we can enforce that? Because if you can't enforce it, this whole thing crumbles.
Can anybody be doing it right until the feds authorize?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So with the medicinal marijuana doing it right, do we tax aspirin now?
I think you pay medicinal taxes.
Prescriptions, things of that nature. Because I would think that if this isn't marijuana, if it's prescription, mm-hmm. if it's medicinal is the emphasis, not marijuana. Okay, well, you got all the prescriptive drugs that, you know, you sell at your favorite neighborhood drugstore. That's in place.
Well,
the enforcement part I see is something entirely different.
So
that's more the retail. That's more the farmer, the, you know, farmer's market, the organic.
How much
farmer.
Do you think in Pfizer paid in taxes last year?
For sales tax?
For
or
taxes.
Are you?
No, I mean
payroll.
So
taxes?
I'm just saying it's not. You know, I don't know. I don't. It's different. You know, it's different in the same. But it's they have to.
You're looking at a manufacturer tax.
They have to pay some kind of tax because there is.
Probably depends on what state they're in. I bet you they're in Delaware.
No, I'm talking about California. In California, we have a lot of impacts here.
Do they manufacture in California?
Do they?
Pfizer.
Oh.
I'm focusing on Pfizer here.
I don't know if they do.
Laser beam, dude. You gave me the example. I'm thinking they're probably in Florida, Texas, or Delaware, and don't.
I'm just saying I think there's probably taxes paid on pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
Somewhere
at sales tax.
The line, there's taxes paid because you can't.
An embedded one somewhere.
Yeah, because, yeah, you can't enforce a system that's not taxed. I mean, the government's not, you can't do it for free. And so.
Well, you got payroll taxes. You got property taxes. I mean, you got taxes that are mm-hmm. there, the embedded taxes, not necessarily to the ultimate consumer.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying is they're there somewhere. I don't
know.
So
you're in favor of the
at.
Flat tax then, consumer tax?
I think the flat tax could work.
Beats
the heck out of the one.
But neither
now.
Of us are running for president, so it doesn't mm-hmm. really. that's kind of the road that I have seen is that if it's a drug, it's treated as other drugs. It can't be treated as a stepping stone to retail marijuana sales. Because mm-hmm. that's a whole different the wine, I mean, wine seems to be the easy one for me to follow. The wineries themselves, where do they pay taxes? You know, is it when they buy the grape from somebody else? Probably not, because that's at a wholesale purchase level. It's when they sell the bottle to the ultimate consumer.
I think they pay on the property too.
Sure, the property taxes.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
They're growing it. They pick a growing area, and they. But I understand what you're saying is, you know, we.
But you're looking for a premium on it because of the enforcement.
In California, we are stuck in between thinking this is going to be recreational and getting ready for that, and being a medicine and just saying, okay, if it's a medicine, you would treat it like this. If it's a recreational drug, like alcohol, you would treat it like this. But it is definitely being driven down the path of, you know, this is alcohol. And here, you know, you look at the bills.
But the way the camel's nose got under the tent was different.
Yeah.
So I would think that it wouldn't be too far of a stretch to make that delineation between the two. But apparently it is getting pretty fuzzy.
The way it's coming down is, you know, there's the model for farmer to dispensary to patient is modeled after how alcohol is sold. You know, where a person who
makes alcohol. So for all those guys
alcohol,
that really do need to have vodka for their medicinal purposes, mm-hmm. Was that an excuse for a long, long time?
You were 21 once.
Yeah, I turned in Nebraska. It didn't matter back there. Legal was 20. KINS News and Information Time. It's 4:44. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:47. We're back, final stages with Ryan Sundberg this morning. Ryan, so the concept with medicinal marijuana, legal marijuana, you know, it's still the Emerald Triangle. We're still getting our unfair share of the attention in this thing. Do you sense, is Humboldt County going to be in front on this thing? Are we still going to be kind of considered the court jester in this whole equation and giggle, giggle, ha, ha? You know, look what they're doing up there in the Wild West. Where's this thing going to go prior to the election next year?
So this is my opinion, but we just went to a rural counties conference in Tahoe, Supervisor Bone and I, and also just, you know, being out and talking to other supervisors, and Humboldt County is going to be at the lead of this thing. And there's a lot of other counties that are kind of hanging back and know that we're getting really close to having something completed and in process. And I guess that's good because we're going to be the leader, but it's also where the guinea pig, you know. It's like when this first all came out, I said, well, at least we'll know what Colorado happens in Colorado, you know, and we'll learn some lessons from that. And I think they did. You know, the bill that's put together, or the three bills that are put together, are, you know, have some of the mistakes that happened in Colorado are put, you know, are taken care of in there. And I definitely think the model of splitting apart the different, you can't be a grower and a distributor, you know,
separation.
You have to separate all those out just to keep, you know, to decentralize the power basis. And it also, you know, spreads out the wealth some more too. So I think Humboldt County will be a leader in all this. And I think other counties are going to look to see, they're already looking to see what we're doing. And when we finish our land use ordinance, they're going to probably, I'm guessing, copy most of it. I think they're not going to rewrite.
Now the land use though doesn't really specifically address the retail sales, does it? Or is that part of the general plan, or is something else entirely?
So the land use part deals with how you cultivate. The dispensary piece that we have deals with the storefront retail and what you can do there. You know, and then the state law kind of fills in the gaps of all the other, how do you transport it? You know, can it be for profit? You know, all the other, I mean, so that's why I was telling this. It's like a big puzzle that has to be put together, not just one entity or government agency.
If it's legal, can't it just be transported within the state? Trucks, cars, whatever.
So
licensed. I mean, so it's
identified. I told you it was like alcohol. You can't go pick up alcohol from Jack Daniels and go drive it over to this place. You have to have it all, you know, your paperwork all in order.
Okay, the show's over. I have to go check some things out.
Not done to buy.
Thanks for coming by, Ryan. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.